assets than assets in liturgy. Okay. Did anyone have an issue with how Jesus talked in the gospel, with that gospel passage? Was that a little challenging for some? Yes? Okay, if you're good with it, I'll just move on. But if you want me to, we can talk about it for a minute. So let me explain it, and then we're going to see how our reading, our second reading from Philemon, is an example of this. So what Jesus is doing is a common thing rabbis would do, and that's use exaggeration to make a point. And we do this too. So if you've ever played a sport, and you've ever heard a cliche like this, to be good at tennis, you need to eat, sleep, and breathe tennis. Right? If I were to say that to you and you wanted to play tennis, you would know what I meant. It would mean dedication, sacrifice, commitment, passion, all those things. We don't really read it and think, I have to literally digest tennis. Now, maybe 2,000 years from now, if people in a different part of the world, in a different culture, that speak a different language, were reading a translation of a book that someone wrote that said, to be good at tennis, you need to eat, sleep, and breathe tennis, they would be like, what? How? What are they talking about? This is really difficult to grasp. So we have those moments when we encounter Jesus using those types of figures. Jesus didn't hate his own mother. Quite the opposite, he loved her, and while he was dying on the cross, one of his concerns was not how much this hurts, but who's going to take care of her? Jesus cared for his mother. So he's not saying, like me, I hate my mother, you need to hate your mother. What Jesus is saying is, it's going to require commitment, dedication, passion, and sacrifice. Those types of things. That was a way of saying that at that time. Going, exaggerating to make the point. He also talks about carrying the cross. Now, ironically, Jesus did carry the cross. But that was an expression of a time to carry a burden. So it's going to require commitment, dedication, passion, sacrifice, and you're going to have to bear burdens. If you want to follow me, I'm telling you this up front so you have an idea of what it looks like. And that's what the next part of the gospel is about. He says, listen, and this is a process we're all familiar with, right, if you're a homeowner. Who's going to build a tower? Who's going to build a deck? Who's going to put an addition on your house and not sit down and first, how much will this cost? Can I do it myself? Can we afford the materials? Should we get a contractor? Can we afford it? All these questions we ask ourselves on the front. Because if we can't, we look stupid. If you have a half-finished room on the back of your house for 10 years, right? It's stupid, it's foolish, it's useless. So we plan. But what Jesus is saying is the same thing. The same thing. Know what you're getting into. Because if you get into this and you don't understand, it's going to require sacrifice, commitment, dedication, passion, and there are moving burdens that you have to bear. It's not going to be what you thought it was, and it's not going to work. That's what today's gospel is about. Jesus is using exaggeration to make a point. That was a common thing rabbis did. That the gospel requires sacrifice. Now, our New Testament reading, it's a letter from Paul to a person named Philemon, which was the name of a man who was maybe a leader or maybe whose house the church met in a city called Colossae, which is in Turkey, Asia Minor, today Turkey. And Philemon has a problem. Philemon is a wealthy man, and like wealthy men of that day, he owned slaves. And one of his slaves ran away. This is in Roman law, a very bad offense. This could be punishable by death. It's severe. And this slave, whose name was Onesimus, which Onesimus means useful, Onesimus runs to Paul because he wants to serve the church. He wants to help Paul in his mission. So Paul receives him, baptizes him, but sends him back with this letter. Now, Paul's appealing to Philemon. Some would say persuading. Some would say heavily persuading. Others would say guilting. If you've ever had an ethnic family, you understand those can all be the same thing. You know, if you have a growing up in a Italian family, guilt, persuasion, they all just go together in one big ball called communication. That's how it works in our family. So Paul is. He's persuading. He's using whatever affection that their relationship has, which is, you can tell Paul and Philemon are friends. Philemon regards Paul as a spiritual authority, someone that he loves, like a pastor that you care about, or a bishop, or someone of that nature. And Paul is saying, if you love me, do this for me. I'm sending him back to you so that you can do the right thing and receive him as a brother. Now, people may say, you know, at times, oh, doesn't the Bible condone slavery or this and that? No. No. What the Bible does is try to work out the gospel in the context of the times that it's written. And what Paul is doing is he's sending Onesimus back. He's not saying, I have every right to keep him here and set him free. He's saying, I want him to go back to you, prominent leader in the church and a man with means in your community. And I want you, not out of any other motivation but love in the gospel, to receive him back, not as a slave, but as a brother, without punishment, and set him free. That's a pretty big ask. That's a pretty big ask. And what Philemon has to wrestle with is, surely on his end, how would people feel about him doing this? I mean, do you imagine the other prominent businessmen in the community that own slaves are going to like this precedent? Do you imagine Philemon might deal with some burden? Some ridicule? Probably. But Paul isn't interested in that. He understands that those may be the side effects. But he wants Philemon to do something in front of the church and in front of the community to show the power of the gospel, not to change policy, but to change hearts. He wants Philemon to set him free out of love, not out of duty. That is a big ask, again. And you can see all the ways throughout this letter that Paul uses techniques, sometimes guilting him, sometimes encouraging him to do the right thing, sometimes kind of leveraging their relationship to make him do it. But Paul's not interested in how the letter sounds. Paul's interested in the action before the church. Because this is the same person who writes, in Christ there is no Jew, nor Greek, nor slave, nor free. The baptism breaks all those boundaries down. He wants this to be a concrete example, visible for the whole community, of what that looks like. And he's asked the Philemon to take what he can do. A huge ask. Well, here's what we know. Outside of the scriptures, he does do it. Onesimus goes on to become a leader in the church. Philemon remains a leader in the church in Colossae. And that boundary of class and slave and free starts to get murky for the Christians. They start to see one another's brothers. Now, this is not a perfect thing, of course. This is not a moment where the church all just says, okay, everyone who has slaves, let's all free them and be brothers. But an example is being set about the dignity of human life and our standing before Christ, outranking our standing in society. And this would be something the church would build on in its best moments throughout history. It's an example of what Jesus is asking. Sometimes there are going to be moments in our life where the way things are done, as you understand what I mean by that, just the norms and the demands of the gospel are going to be opposites. And what Jesus is asking in the gospel is, be ready for those moments. They will come to each one of you. And when they come, be willing to choose the gospel and bear the burdens that might come with choosing that path. Bear the burdens in relationships. We don't know how Philemon's friendships went after he did this. If some of his colleagues took a step back from him, they felt he was going too far, destroying the social system. Be ready for to bear burdens in maybe your, how you're viewed in your community, what people think of you. Be ready. Those moments will come, and that's hard. So Philemon is a great example of what Jesus is saying about sacrifice, commitment, passion, and bearing burdens for the gospel. It's a big ask. There are moments, not every day, not every day. This wasn't an everyday occurrence for Philemon. This was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But there are moments in our life where we're going to have a big ask by the gospel on us, whether it's financially, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's with our time commitments, whether it's how we order or prioritize our life, whether it's forgiving someone who's hurt us that we feel has no right for that forgiveness, whatever they might be, we're going to have that big ask in our life. And Jesus is saying, let the gospel weigh in. Be willing to let the gospel weigh in. Now we know that's a better way. We know that. That's a better way. But sometimes in the emotion of the moment, it's hard. Hard. So there's going to be those moments. I pray that we would be able to recognize it and see in our life when that big ask, the gospel way, is presented in front of us, and we can choose it. We might be an example to someone, maybe not in front of the whole church, like Philemon was, but maybe in our families, maybe to our children, maybe to our grandchildren, of the gospel way, of how the gospel way can. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.